This is Martin Zender. You're at the Revelation Series. Let's go to the Valley of Dry Bones, because I do enjoy it when God shocks people and surprises people. And he's going to do that very thing, because in the place where it is assumed that all expectations dried up and all hope that a remnant will come forward from Israel, or that there would be a, not just a remnant, but there would be blindness removed from Israel. It's like, where are they coming from? That's the question people have, because they don't see any raw material. I see tons of raw material. I see anyone who has a leaning toward the circumcision evangel to be raw material, to be potential material for either the 144,000 or the vast throng. And it's messy right now, of course, because these people have not been properly enlightened. And they're still legalistic. They're still not understanding. They may name Christ, those who lean toward the circumcision. These are your church people. That's part of the group, the church people. Also, those who are a step beyond the church people. Maybe they stopped going to church, but they're still zealous for the law, and they're zealous for the real law going forth from Zion. And these prophecies are in the Bible concerning the law. Yeah, the prophecies have not gone away. And so I contend to you that the people have not gone away. They're just blind. Some of them are enlightened, and this is the remnant right now. There's a remnant Paul talks about in Romans chapter 11. And the remnant understands what God's doing, and they know that they will come into the kingdom. But besides the remnant, there's a vast throng of people who they don't even realize right now that they're part of it. They don't even realize now that they're about to be enlightened, and that something's going to dawn on them, and that they're going to be called forward to action, and they're going to be doing something, and they're going to be moving, they're going to be migrating, and they're going to be coming into Israel, I believe. And that's what I'm looking for. I mean, I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen. Could I be wrong? Yeah, but this has to happen sometime. Now, this is what I call the Ezekiel 37 shocker, because God is in the business of shocking people. And when people think all hope is lost, when they think that the bones are dead, the people is dead. Let me tell you this first before I go here. This is the whole reason Paul writes Romans chapter 11. He starts the whole Israel thing in Romans chapter 9. He's concerned that the nations think that God is finished with Israel, because he says, lest you become prudent among yourselves. He doesn't want anybody to get smug, and it would be easy if you're a member of the body of Christ back then to get smug, because now you have been made a joint participant with Israel, and those Israelites who have jumped ship to join the uncircumcision evangel, they have no precedence. You see, if you're in the circumcision evangel, Israel flesh will always have precedence. Even if you're a proselyte of Israel, if you're not of Abrahamic stock, you are a second-class citizen. But in the body of Christ, the question would be, Paul, you know, there are Israelites coming into the body of Christ who have jettisoned their national identity. But we're Greeks. Paul said, Israel has no advantage over you in the body of Christ. We're equal members of the body of Christ. That was the big question. Here comes an Israelite. Oh, they must have something over me. Paul says, not now they don't. Not now they don't. So, but in the circumcision evangel, they still do. And Paul then, the thought of a Greek coming into the body of Christ would be, and maybe even Israelites coming into the body of Christ would be, well, now that God has done this amazing thing and has given justification, conciliation to us, then that must mean that the national Israel, the Israel that God promised the promises to Abraham, that must be finished. And then we are really have a superiority complex here. And Paul says, I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, this is in verse 25 of Romans 11, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel's come until the complement of the nations may be entering, and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. So the idea was, lest you, this is not never emphasized enough, lest you may be becoming prudent among yourselves, lest you think that you have the market cornered now on God, and that God is finished with Israel because he's being so nice to you. Paul says, no, he's not finished with Israel. This is where the preterists make the huge mistake. And this passage I'm going to read to you from Ezekiel will prove to you that God is not finished with Israel. It's the Ezekiel 37 shocker, commonly referred to as a Valley of Dry Bones passage. Ezekiel wrote about your church neighbors here, I believe. This is my unique belief, although I have convinced a considerable amount of people of this. Ezekiel's writing about your family members, some of them, many of whom will be awakened to their calling. So here are verses 1 through 14 of Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. This is the situation today, and I'll say to you that the bones are so dry that they don't even know their destiny. They don't even realize who they are. They have a hint, they have an inkling, they have inclinations, and they have a passion for Israel, these people. These people in church, these people in your family, maybe they love Israel and they're into it. There were very many on the surface. I'm quoting scripture. Very many on the surface. I like to stop there and not say of the valley. I like that. Very many on the surface. That's where they are right now. They're on the surface. They're not very deep. The remnant is. The remnant has figured out who they are. And they're interested in the circumcision evangel. They love James, Peter, John. And they're looking forward to ruling and reigning in the kingdom. And I'm not talking about the celestials, because they don't feel at home. They don't feel comfortable reading Paul. They don't like Paul necessarily. They don't grasp the truths of Paul. They don't like justification. They don't like the fact that they can be at ease now, knowing that God sees them as perfect through the death of Christ, through the work of Christ. They're not identified in the baptism of Christ. They don't like to be identified with Christ. They like their own identity. They like the idea of being a bride. They like the idea of, I'm here, Jesus is there, I'm going to marry him, I'm going to do works, and I'm going to do the law. They love the law. This message is for these people. These are the ones that are going to be awakened, and God is going to write the law on the hearts of Israel. Again, as I asked yesterday, where is Israel? Is Israel in the Middle East? Is Israel now living in Jerusalem? No, those are the people who are going to be expelled. The wedding feast parable. They're going to be kicked out. They're going to be sent away, and then strangers, supposedly strangers to other people, but not to God. God has known where the true Israel is the whole time, just like the body of Christ. He knows who's a member of the body of Christ before they become members of the body of Christ. Isn't there a time when you didn't know you were a member of the body of Christ? Yes, when you were born, you became 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. As a 3-year-old, did you know that you were a member of the body of Christ? Did Paul, when he was born, know he was a member of the body of Christ? When he was a Pharisee, as Saul in Jerusalem, did he know he was the first member of the body of Christ? No. But the day comes when you come to a realization of the truth. And as it is for us, so it will be for Israel. They will come one day to a realization of the truth, in one day. And it'll dawn on them who they are. And this is what is happening in the Valley of Dry Bones. And there are very many on the surface now of the valley. Why a valley? Because it's very low right now. Israel nationally is a valley. She's not the head of the nations as she's going to be. She's the tail of the nations. She's a tail. She's a byword and a disappointment to the world. Israel is. But God knows. So there are many on the surface of the valley, and they're very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Oh, there's Romans 11:25. That's it. Can these bones live? You can emphasize that these. Can these bones live? These bones? Come on. And again, many think Israel is just a valley of dry bones, and they're going to stay bones. It's done. It's not only a corpse. It's a corpse stripped of flesh, stripped of sinews and tendons, and it's done. And Ezekiel answered this way. It's a good answer. Oh Lord God, you know. I like that. Only God knows. That's a famous saying we have, popular saying. God know. God only knows. God only knows. Yeah. Maybe God only knows where these people are and who they are. I suspect, but God knows. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. When's this going to happen? What is a trigger event for this to happen? What is a sign that this will happen? This sounds like a birth to me. This sounds like, well, it doesn't sound like it. It is a figurative resurrection. The bones aren't literal. It's a vision that Ezekiel is seeing. The bones represent something. So you might say the sinews coming on. This is not about literal skin coming on a literal femur. This is, or a kneecap being joined. This is about a people whose expectation is considered by them and by the rest of the world to be dried up. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Verse 7 of Ezekiel 37. So I prophesied, says Ezekiel, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I like this. There was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. We're seeing it here described in stages. But this is happening, even though it's happening in stages, it's happening swiftly. These bones are coming together. So we will see, I believe, a coming together, but where's the life? We see the beginning of organization. We see the beginning of an awakening. How awake is it? How awake does it have to be, this body of Israel, these 144,000? It has to be given life. It has to be given breath. It's not enough to have the corporate entity finally recognized, finally noted. It's like, wow, where did these people come from? But what are they doing? What is their confession? Their confession comes from a spirit of God that comes in them. There was no breath in them yet. Verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. This is why the dragon is nervous, and this is why the dragon drags a third of the stars to heaven to combat a great army. This is exactly what I've been telling you, that now an expectation that has seemed dried up. And if Satan, the dragon, were to look upon the earth, and he's not going to fear Israel, he's after us right now because we're the next greatest thing to happen. And we're going to usurp Satan in his realm, and we're coming into a rulership among the celestials where Satan is. So he's attacking us. But when he sees this happening, when he sees this begin to happening, he's going to be so upset and so panicked, panic-stricken, that this was totally dried up. I had it under control. They were nothing but dry bones, no expectation, no flesh, no spirit, no nothing. I can handle the remnant. There's just a small handful of people who are true to the Abrahamic covenant. I can live with that, says Satan, but I can't live with an army. And so that's why we see this war occurring. They came to life. When do they come to life? And stood on their feet an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Not the house of Judah, but the house of Israel. The house of Israel, those were the people who were scattered, who did not come back to the land. This is why God can do something so interesting. Because we all know the house of Judah. Those Israelites living in Jerusalem right now are remnant of the house of Judah. Jews, Judah, Jews, Judah. They're a remnant. They're the people whose ancestors crucified Christ. But did you know that the house of Israel is not guilty of crucifying Christ? They were already gone. They were taken into captivity into Assyria. Assyria had wars with other nations, and they left the jail unguarded, so to speak. And these people wandered away. And they were scattered, and they were not in Jerusalem. They were not part of the people that said, His blood be on us and our children. How'd you like that? Those Israelites that were in the land, the remnants of the house of Judah, who had returned from Babylon, their descendants in the land when Jesus Christ walked that ground, and they said to Pilate, His blood be on us and our children. And since then, the house of Judah, the remnants from the house of Judah, they have been persecuted. The Holocaust, every bad thing that's happened to Israel has happened to the house, remnant of the house of Judah. Now we have a house of Israel being called. House of Israel, that's a whole different thing. This is the house of Israel. I'm going to show you later, next week, that house of Judah. The parable in Ezekiel also of the two sticks that come together. House of Judah is joined again with the house of Israel. But this is life coming to the house of Israel, whose members have been scattered all over the planet, who into every nation, who might be living next to you, who might make up the majority of the population of church people who love all things Jewish. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is the metaphor again. These bones are the house of Israel. Literal bones that he sees, literal house of Israel. That it's the house of Israel. He sees literal bones. You have to understand, just like John is seeing a beast, seeing a harlot, seeing the candlestick, seeing seven spirits. Ezekiel seeing bones. And so in a metaphor, the figurative part is the verb to be in the middle. The literal parts, the two nouns on either side of the verb to be, is bones, house of Israel. This is the whole house of Israel. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up. Our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. We are completely cut off. Let's go back to Micah chapter 5. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. He will give them up until. Give them up. Give them up. Relatively, not absolutely, but this is our expectation has perished. That's what is meant by, I will give them up until, you might as well say this, I'll give them up until they become bones. I will give them up until they are in a valley. I will give them up until they are scattered on the surface. I will give them up until they don't even know who they are anymore. Just like he gave up Moses in the wilderness for 40 years until he didn't even care anymore about leading his people out of bondage. He was all hepped up for it back in the day when he was killed an Egyptian. I'm the man. God says, no, I'm going to give you up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. This is God's modus operandi. He's in a big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut. He calls a people He ruins them, just like he does with the earth. Brings out the earth, ruins it, the disruption of the world, and then brings life out of the earth. This is what he does with Moses. Makes the man, makes him all tough and blustery, ruins him, sends him off to the wilderness to tend sheep for 40 years. Then a miracle happens. He sees the bush burning that does not consume itself. Then the miracle starts. Same with Israel. He raises up a people. He ruins them. They've rejected their Messiah, abandoned him, killed him. And now they're a valley of dry bones. Now the miracle starts. Abraham brings up the man, ruins him. Well, first he promises him a progeny, like the sand of the seashore and the stars of the heavens. And then he ruins him, makes him so he can't reproduce. Then the miracle starts. This is God's method. He's never done anything any other way. I'll end this way for today, for this week. He's doing this with you, too. It's the same thing. You knew I was going to say this anyway. It appears that our expectation is dried up. It appears that we're on the road to nowhere. But that's when the miracle starts. This is why Paul can say, when I'm weak, then I'm powerful. Because my weakness becomes a canvas for God to paint a masterpiece on. My weakness becomes a blob of clay for God to fashion into something pleasing to a vessel of honor. And he has made us vessels of honor. He's never done anything any differently than this. Why would we expect he would do anything differently with his people, Israel?